Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, today we want to learn about some things that will keep us in the right posture, the right way of thinking, the right way of responding toward the things as you're building your church. And Lord, there are things you've installed within us that we need to really just adhere to that will bring the peace and the joy in the times of suffering, but also will confront the evil things of this world as we just walk before you in perfection, the perfection of the Holy Spirit working in us day by day as we yield to his power. Holy Spirit, be our teacher today, and we'll be careful to give you all the praise and the honor and glory. For I ask all these things in the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and all God's people said,
amen.
You may be seated. I have several pieces of information to drop off to you as kind of an introduction. The first one, I would say this. Many of you know Leonardo da Vinci, or you've heard of him. The name is at least familiar enough for you to get an idea that he was a famous person. Was more than an artist that had interests that ranged from botany to philosophy. But most of us know him for painting. He carried a notebook with him at all times, and his notebook, when he died, had 14,000 pages in it. And he gave that particular endowment to his friend, longtime friend, Francesco Nelzi. In 1994, 14 pages of his diary sold at an auction for $31 million. On May the 2nd, 1519, a few days before he died, he left a note of apology to God, and it said this: for leaving so much undone. What is the note you would leave to God if you died today? Would you have to leave that little epitaph? Well, I could have or should have finished these particular things, but I guess I left too early. My job today is to inspire you, to encourage you to leave nothing undone when you leave here. That's the reason why we gather in this house, is that we be fully equipped, that we be fully yielded to the Holy Spirit, that he would do some things in our life that would change us forever. Now, I need to give you, just insert another little piece of news that I just got a few days ago that will help you to understand the urgency of the hour. This week in Russia, President Vladimir Putin approved a package of anti-terrorist, they call it, laws, that usher in the tighter restrictions on missionary activity and evangelism. Listen to this. Despite prayers and protests from religious leaders and human rights advocates, the Kremlin announced at Putin's approval yesterday amendments including laws against sharing faith in homes, online, or anywhere there's not a recognized church building go into effect July 20th, 2016. That means that you can't witness to anybody on the street. You can't do witness to anybody over the internet. The only place you can witness or even talk about Jesus is in church. You say, what? That really? Yeah, it did. The reason why I'm saying that is sometimes we feel like, well, yeah, I'll get around to it. I'll share the Lord with something. And you think it's all up to you? Someday, that may not be an option. So I want to wake you up to the things that are going on. And it says, Christians in Russia won't be allowed to email their friends an invitation to church or to evangelize in their own homes if Russia's newest set of surveillance laws and anti-terrorism laws are enacted. It's over. Fine for doing this, $760 first time. Second time, you go to jail. Oh my, a little sober in here? Here are my questions for you today, and I think they hopefully will not fall on deaf ears. Number one, do you have a plan of action for completing your assignment by Jesus to make disciples? Do you have a plan? Well, you know, unfortunately, many of us don't. But now it's time to get one before you have something in action. I said, well, they wouldn't do this. Who would ever think that they would have the situation in our whole society that now that they have the whole bathroom laws. Did you ever think you'd have to it's up to anybody to guess whoever they want to be, whenever they want to go? I don't know. But as obscure that as that seems, we're just one click away from Russia. How about this? Do you live your life daily with eternity in view? Finally, number three, have you allowed your love for Jesus to seize opportunities to make him known to unbelievers? That's probably the place where we're going to park today. Well, before we can confront the world of its wrong, we must repent of what is wrong with us. Oh, Lord, here we go. Go back to Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 through 14. He says this, therefore, as you've always obeyed me, not as in my presence, but now much more in my absence. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. My question to you, how are you working it out? Is there a plan? And the fear and trembling part is not that you're just kind of cowering in the corner, but it says, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. God is working in you. Then it talks about do all things without disputing and complaining and all that type of thing. Well, we must work out our salvation with sincere honor and reverence to the Lord. First thing is, we must be sensitive to the Holy Spirit's promptings. The Holy Spirit is alive in every person in this room that names the name of Jesus. He's alive. It's not the idea that you have this, you say, oh, I just got this funny feeling. That's not a funny feeling. That's Jesus. I don't know, I just kind of feel like, no, Jesus is talking to you. Because if it's something, you know, that you wouldn't normally do, it's probably not you. And if it's intimidating or it seems like it's kind of out of the norm and it will have something good in mind for someone else, it's probably Jesus. And so we're concerned about our comfort zone, but the Holy Spirit is not really concerned about your comfort zone, okay? We must be embracing a loving God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. But moving on to this, we must be willing to allow a compassion to overrule indifference toward the suffering of others. Now, what is indifference toward the suffering of others? Now, here's a simple question, or not a simple, a profound question. Do you care whether people go to hell or not? That's, you can answer. What are you doing about it? I know you wish you stayed home. It's too late. Your focus will determine your reality. That means simply this. If you focus on yourself, you will be blinded to the needs of others. That's just not a theory. That's a fact. Concerned about how I look, what I'm driving, this type of thing. And it's so focused on yourself, you don't have time for anybody else. And the issue is this, your heart will atrophy unless you focus on the needs of others. You know what atrophy means? It will shrink, it will get smaller, it will lack compassion. If you focus on your wants enough, enough will never be enough. Remember I told you about the mall, how the mall's created? You were fine till you went walking in the mall. And all of a sudden, you got to have that and that. Oh, that looked lovely on me. You picture yourself in it. But you were fine before you got out of that car. What, wouldn't you? Or you were fine until you took a ride in somebody else's car. Ooh, Jesus. Mine doesn't do that. It tells you all that, really? Mine doesn't tell me. Here's my confession. I want a Tesla. You say, what? Why would you want a Tesla? I'll tell you why I want one, because I hate driving. So if I can press a button and let somebody else drive for me, ooh, thank you, Jesus. I don't want it because of what it looks like. I want it because of what it does. I don't care whether you, he's driving a Tesla. Honey, the reason why he's in it, because he don't like driving. I'm not here to impress you. I'm here to get where I'm going. without killing folk, okay? Bless his great name. Our relationship with Jesus does not always change our circumstances. Let me help you with, this is a reality check. We'll get to the hallelujah stuff in a minute, maybe. Our relationship with Jesus does not always change our circumstances. Number one, it should change the way we see ourselves, though. Or how about this? It should change the way we see the world. Or it should change the urgency we pursue bringing Jesus to those who did not know him. But we want it to change our circumstances. We want a new job. We want more money. We want our kids to behave. You want to find a spouse. You say, so if I come to Jesus, what's the guarantee plan? Can you go over the benefits here? None of you will go to work for a company without looking at the benefit package. And if you say, well, you know, can I think about this? Because you know there's somebody else down the street give you a little bit more of what you think you have, or you need, or you want. God is bringing us to a place of accountability, but we must choose to allow our level of obedience to become compatible with our knowledge of Jesus' commands. Can I unfold that for you? When we hear a word from the Lord, we must determine there is something that we must do as a result. Here's something. Well, let me take you back to high school or college. How many of you love to do homework? Raise your hand. I loved homework. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, God. You just get chills. No, you didn't. Most of you were last minute Susie or last minute John. Got to get it in. Got to get it done. You remember what I told you about last week about, you know, people studying for final exams and people that are the summa cum laude type folks. A month after they took the test for their final exam, they took the test again and flunked. Because we just study just enough to get by. Let me help you with this. And this is going to be really penetrating because there will be something for you to do when this message is over. We often audit sermons. How many of you know what it means to audit a class? Wave your hand at me if you know what it means to audit a class. It means simply this, for those of you who don't know, you go into the class, you sit through the class, but you're not required to do certain things. You just want to listen to what is being said. You want to listen to the information. You kind of process it. Well, that's good. You're not required to take notes. You're not required to come to all the classes. You're not required to have a midterm, a final exam, or anything of that nature. You're just auditing the class. You just want to hear them. And you know something? Many of you come to church every week, and you audit the sermon. Oh, my, this is painful. Ah, yeah. Ooh. Deal with it. Because we got to get it down to this point. We don't want to be graded on what we have done. We don't like tests to determine what we have learned. Ooh, it's quiet in here. Jesus. I know I got the right sermon. Okay. We don't, but here's the part you don't realize. We don't get any credit because we have not finished the course. One more. We don't put what we have learned into practice. There will be something before you leave this room that the Holy Spirit will tell you that you must do. And you either choose to fulfill the contract of being here or you're back in audit mode. Maybe next week will be better. It'll be something more suitable to what I can handle. That auditory spirit, the devil loves it. Because you know something? Many times in our mind, our goal is, if I can make it to church, Jesus will see me there. And there's points for that, right? Because I think of all kinds of folks that stayed home and people that are out doing other things, and I made it to church, that ought to be good for something. I want to tell you something right now. No, it isn't.
That's right.
What? Ooh, Jesus. I'm going to make a statement here, and I hope that you'd never forget it. Sin is a waste of energy on things we can't have or can't control. Process that one. It's a waste of energy on things we can't have or can't control. And why we come together in this house is not only to worship God and to enjoy His holiness, His holy presence, the fellowship of the church together, which is just absolutely amazing, but it's to confront those areas of sin in our life. Like we repented a little while ago. We said, you know, all this stuff that's holding me down, I'm leaving it down here, and I'm going to lift my hands and I'm going to worship God. That's why we come. It's a transformation process that God is doing in our lives. Well, anyway, in the Jewish culture, there was no difference between knowing and doing. Because if you knew it, you did it. What? They didn't have a word for what we've kind of classified. And the Jewish culture kind of operated this way. Let me give you a couple of phrases. Hopefully they won't tangle you up. If you didn't do it, you didn't really know it. Ever tried to do something you didn't really know how to do? How'd it work for you? Ever scan the directions you're putting something together? Every man on this planet has done that. I don't care who they are. They're lying if they say they haven't. Because, oh, yeah, I got it. You know, and you skip over this. Oh, yeah. And all of a sudden, you get to almost to the end. And, say, and you should have done something that was in the instructions at the very beginning, and now it does not work. Yes, Lord. Knowing was doing, doing was knowing. Truth must be translated into real life experiences. And that's what Jesus is doing for us here today. It is much easier to act like a Christian than it is to react like a Christian. Oh, we're going in deep now. Because all you look good, you look Christians. But honey, if we press the wrong button, something gonna happen. All of you have a default button. Oh, Lord, help me preach today. Help me, Jesus. The Lord will use us in ways that will benefit the kingdom of God. And that's the thing. That's the reason why we're here. It's to benefit the kingdom of God. The other thing is our reaction as Christians is governed by our ability to listen to the voice of the Spirit. Amen. Amen. And you know what? The Holy Spirit is talking to every person in this room right now. So how does He do that? Because through this particular message, He'll say something specifically to you and it will stick to you saying, you know, and you'll say, and the only thing you get to say is, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I'll obey. What am I to say further than that? Our light will shine in the midst of trials of our faith. Well, let me bring you to the side that we all want to jump into. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. Philippians 4:4 is an amazing scripture. It says, and again I say rejoice. Why is it double rejoicing? Well, I'll tell you what, you have an enemy out there who's trying to take your joy from you. Right. Now, I've heard some people do some pretty interesting things, responses, say, you know, just pretend like it doesn't bother you. That's not what that says. It says, rejoice in the Lord always, knowing that God is in you, and your joy of the Lord is your strength. Amen. Regardless of what the devil throws at you, your joy is not contingent with what the devil is doing. It's always resting in the Lord. That's why it says, rejoice in the Lord always. Well, I'm unloading a lot of stuff today. I hope you might even want to get the CD because there's a lot of stuff. I'm using a lot of terminology you may want to revisit. We must be aware, and this is a little word I came up with, cultural narcissism. Doesn't that sound bad? And it is. This is how it works. The world will try to take your focus off Jesus and his church. And you are the next focus is you. Upon that, we must not exchange what is in vogue for true worship unto the Lord. Now, unfortunately, the church that Jesus is building is not really conducive or not in concurrent with a lot of things that we do to try to call it church. And I'm not on a rant against what people are doing and changing various formats and worship styles. I'm not talking about that. But the deal that I think is really important for us is that we oftentimes will come to church looking for the things that we like. Oh, I don't like that. Oh. Well, that song's just not my flavor. Oh, there it is. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. It don't have nothing to do with Jesus. It has everything to do with you. When we get to the place where we're able to put it aside, all this other type of our preferences, then our narcissistic personality will be put to death and we'll be able to worship God in spirit and in truth like he desires for us too. In conjunction with that, he says we must cling to the centrality of worship of Jesus, and that's a very, very important thing. But we must not let anxiety displace the joy that we have in Jesus. And that's what the enemy's after, anxiety, pressure. Everybody say pressure. Pressure. Pressure when you come into the room where you're doing just fine worshiping God, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, here comes something from the devil. Like, what you going to do when you get out of here? You ain't got no gas money. How you going to get home? You know that bill that's due next week? This is while you're worshiping. The devil is a thief and a robber. And he'll try to push you away from the things that are of God. Well, the U.S. is the largest. Here's something that'll tell you something. Did you realize this? That the United States is the third largest country in the world of people that are unreached for Jesus. China and India, then the U.S. You say, what? I know you're kind of scratching your head. Do you know they have a revival going on in South America that would make you crazy? In various parts of Asia that would absolutely humiliate you. But in the United States, we're getting further and further removed away from the gospel in every way we can because we're trying to repackage it to fit what we want. We have now moved into the place where we are the largest unreached people group after China and India. You say, that's impossible. No, it's not. Do you know that more churches are closing than opening? You say, what? Oh, somebody goes, wow. And I don't want you to get depressed because we're going to do something about it. We must rejoice in the opportunity to bring the message of hope to this generation. That's where your rejoicing starts. Is I get to be a part of the channel of change to bring Jesus to people who don't know him. That's where your rejoicing is. That you've been commissioned by the Holy Spirit to make a difference in someone's life. And I'm going to go deeper with this in the messages to come. But the deal is this, that we must resist being a church that is full of itself and make room for Jesus. I'm going to say it. Somebody says, say it again. I will. We must not. I'll say it again. Yeah. We must resist being a church that's full of itself and make room for Jesus. Wow. Every morning we must arise with hope in our hearts. Philippians 4:6 says something that will help us. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. The first thing that is addresses here is anxiety. Don't stress out. Don't be anxious for anything. But within everything by prayer, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to the Lord. Next week, I'm going to preach, I'm going to talk totally on prayer, and I would encourage you, don't miss it. Because we're going to talk about prayer in its entirety. Well, prayer is the key to the survival of the soul, obviously. But we must resolve each day to be thankful for all the Lord has done. Somebody say amen. Amen. Start your day with thanksgiving and say, thank you, Jesus, for another day. Lord, you've been so good. I just need to tell you how good you've been to me. I want to thank you for life, for health, for strength, for my family, for my church, for the world, for an opportunity to share Jesus. Be thankful every single day. Don't be pulling out your list now. Jesus, you know what I need today? Help us, Lord. The peace of the Lord will abide within your heart by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, here's an interesting little, I had to insert this in here. The scars on your body will show that you lived. The scars on your heart will show that you loved. I'm going to repeat it again. You learn this one. The scars on your body will show that you lived. The scars in your heart will show that you loved. Let me help you with something. You may get beat up and pushed around and all kind of different stuff on the outside, but let me tell you something. On the inside, there may be pain going on, but if it's pain there because you love somebody, you're doing the same thing Jesus did. I believe that God wants us to stop all of our fear of, I just don't want to get hurt again. Really? So that's the reason why you don't share about Jesus. Oh, the last time I said that to someone, they just hurt my feelings. Really? So I'm not going to share Jesus ever again because they just said some things to me that were just awful. They were horrible. I just took me weeks to recover. So you'd rather they go to hell and you feel good. Ooh, I'll tell you, this is rough, but it's right. We must allow the Lord to reform and renew our minds daily. Philippians 4:8. This is where we get into the stuff that will speak to us. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. You know what your problem is? You're thinking about the wrong stuff. That's the reason why depression will ambush you. Our hearts were grieved when the police officers were shot in Dallas. It was a devastating, hurtful thing. When the two young men were shot in, I guess it was in New Orleans and in Minnesota someplace. It was Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and then the other place was Minnesota. Am I correct? In the moment, we are all commissioned to pray and to show compassion and love for those who have lost. Without even dismissing that, the Lord tells you how to think. He says, don't dwell on those things. Give those things over to me. But I want to get your heart to a place where you can share the good news of the fact of that God is still here. And he's still available. Well, we must allow the Lord to renew our minds. We must focus on rebuilding our faith in the Word of God. And the Word is total truth. And Jesus is the active living Word of God. Well, our thought life should be subject to the power and the influence of the Spirit. Let me show you what that looks like. The enemy will try to hijack your thoughts. Since I started this message, I can guarantee you, your thoughts have been hijacked no less than 20 times since I started this message. You say, what? I don't want you to go back and try to find those hijacks. But some of you have been to your Wells Fargo bank and trying to find your balance. Some of you wonder whether it's going to be Stanford's, BJ's, or what you call for lunch. Some of you wonder what you're going to bring for the picnic. Ever since I started this, he said, well, how do you know that? Because that's what the enemy does. But I need to tell you this, that the Lord is helping us how not, the enemy will try to hijack our thoughts. He will try to subject us to our emotional feelings. Feelings. Nothing but feelings. How'd you ever let me go? Feelings, whoa, 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 feelings. Y'all remember that song? Sat by the radio and just kind of cried. Oh, geez. Wasn't Jesus. Oh, feelings. Yeah. We will distort the beauty of the things of God with the pleasures of sin in this world. Because sometimes our emotions will carry us in places we dare not and should not go.
Amen. Amen. Right.
And then we'll find ourselves captive. Well, we must find our delight in praising God for the things He is doing in us, around us, and through us. Every day you have an opportunity to thank God for the things He's doing in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The enemy will try to tell you that there's nothing good coming out of your life, but the devil is a liar. The devil's a liar. He's doing good things in you every single day, in you, around you, and through you. Now, the through you part is the part that we're going to activate in the spiritual realm in just a few moments. Well, we must allow ourselves to meditate on the things of God, which that means meditation is not a mystical, but rather an infusion of strength allowed to enter into your spirit. In His law does He meditate both day and night. It's not sitting around going, No, that's not it. Don't be crossing your legs, honey. You won't get them uncrossed anyway. Leave it alone. Leave that alone. But I dare you to read the Word of God, and don't just read through it, because this is not a race to see to get to the end of the book, okay? You may stop at that one particular place, and the Lord says, read it again. Read it again. And all of a sudden, your soul begins to get stronger, and your spirit is getting revived, because all of a sudden, that it becomes food to your soul, it becomes light to your spirit, and God's Word is getting inside of you. That's what God wants to do with us. Well, we must let our passion create a hunger for God. We must be willing to embrace the boldest statement in the Bible. You know where that is? In John 14:12. Watch this. John 14:12, the boldest statement. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. Read this next part. And?
Greater works.
No, read it better than that. And?
Greater works.
Say it again. And?
Greater works.
Then these will he do because I go to my Father. That is the boldest statement in the Bible. And you know who made it? Jesus did. Now notice he says greater. We're talking quantitatively. Jesus is only here for 33 years. So greater works is you're not in competition, But that means a person has fully surrendered themselves to Jesus and there's greater works. That means it's limitless to the fact as you're obedient to Christ, God wants to do great things through you. Well, you will please your Heavenly Father first by first above anyone else and anything else. That's what you want to do. Secondly, I'm giving you a list. Four things. Secondly, you will care for the poor. I had an experience the other day, and I went to have breakfast in one particular place, and bought one of those breakfast sandwich type things, whatever. I said, oh, you get two of those. And God says, they're not both for you. Find someone to give the other one to. Now, I could have ate it. And justify it. I'm in the gym for 2.5 hours. Don't you know I was hungry? I washed that thing down like it was a, you know what, like an hors d'oeuvre. But Jesus told me, he says, go find someone and give it to him. There's this man sitting down there and he's just, you know, I'm not going to judge him, but he didn't look like he had a whole lot. I said, excuse me, sir, can I give this to you? Would you like this? He looked at me and he says, me? I said, yeah. I didn't cast demons out of him. I didn't, you know, call down fire from heaven. I just delivered him a breakfast sandwich. Because that's all I was supposed to do. Now, some of us, we want to take it to the extreme. But before you eat the sandwich, I got something to tell you. Take the strings off it. Let Jesus do the work. Be obedient to what he told you to do, because there's more. God is trying to get us to simple obedience. Are you willing just to do this much? Then he's going to expand this whole thing. We're going to walk differently. We're going to think differently. We're going to act differently because Jesus is rebuilding his church into that which will be relevant in all situations. We're to wash people's feet. That means to learn how to serve people. You will offend the culture because of your willingness to follow Jesus' example in every way. I have just a couple more things before we end today. Pray with fervent expectation. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Be anxious for nothing. Everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus. The best way I can explain this is there is no substitute for prayer. And we're going to learn about that. I'm stopping here at this particular point. I'm just going to read a line in my sermon and we'll finish this next week. But the Lord just kind of put the brakes on here. But I want to just do this last scripture that says, prayer was what ushered in the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit to the church. And that's Acts chapter 2, verses 1, and then Acts chapter 4, verse 31. So Acts chapter 2, verse 1 says, and when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Jesus is trying to get us to the place that when we come together corporately as a body to worship and to pray, that we'll be in one accord. And one accord doesn't mean that we have this, it's not mind control, it's spirit input. Because if you know, recall the whole context of that particular time, that Holy Spirit falls on the people, they began to speak in tongues, but he deposited something on each one of them. He deposited the same thing on all the people, but it was manifested differently in every person. You will receive from the Holy Spirit today, but it will be manifest in you differently than it will be in someone else. But it's the same Holy Spirit. Now let me take over to the verse 31. It says, and when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. I am believing God that His Holy Spirit would fill us to the point where we'll be able to speak the word of God with boldness. Boldness is not brashness. Boldness is not intimidation. Boldness is the fact that you're not so concerned about what people's response is going to be, but you're concerned about what Jesus has told you to share with folks that will bring life to them. What does that mean? There's absolutely no substitute for prayer in the lives of believers. Can I get an amen on that?
Amen.
Secondly, prayer will always bring our lives into alignment with the heart of God. And here's the third one, and I'll quit there as the worship team comes this direction. Loving God with all our heart can only be accomplished when we pray about everything. This morning, I really believe there's something, I can't even describe it, but I do know there's something that Jesus wants to do in all of us in preparation for the very fact of how He's ushering into the church an opportunity for us to become more like Jesus. The fact that we can come here with an agenda, the fact that we can come here and many times audit what's being said and realize no change, I believe the Holy Spirit is intentional today, and there's some things that He spoke to you that you need to act upon. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I only have one question for you, only one. What did you hear Jesus tell you that you need to do? You say, what? Why'd you even ask me that? Because many times we're able to leave this place anonymously and just kind of just shovel that away or sideboard that particular thing. Because the conviction that you feel right now, you may never feel it again. There's something that the Holy Spirit says, or at least in God's word, it says, my spirit will not always strive with men. If you think that God's going to work on your timetable, you're absolutely sadly mistaken. The conviction that God has placed in your spirit today is to be acted upon today.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.